abadi. Any other point in the matter? No, we are done. Did I hear you, Mr. Yunis, moving that to adopt the minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any second? Yes, Mr. Yang. The second set of minutes is minutes on the workshop. It has not been, I mean, this minute, you have not circulated. This minute has not been circulated. We had a workshop, but it's just a one line, or let me say some few lines that we have to adopt, because the rest of the issue, of the content of the minutes is just the attachment of the presentation by the Department of Public Works, not Department of Public Service. I was in a meeting in the evening yesterday that was talking more about public works. That's why public works is stuck in my mind. So, apart from presents and apologies, the minister says the chairperson officially opened the meeting and welcomed everybody present. It announced that the committee will be receiving the briefing from the Department on Public Service on the amendment bill. That was a continuation of the workshop that was on 14 and 15 November 2007, but due to the pressing matters by the Parliament, the committee was unable to complete the workshop, hence the continuation presentation by the department. It will be attached. The committee received the presentation from the department on the following issues, discussions and deliberations. The committee debated the presentation and the issues that emanated from the debate were: one, that the department will, after consideration of all submissions and bilateral agreements, present their views to the committee for further processing of the bill, that amended sections of the bill affecting the Public Service Commission be made available to the committee that is currently dealing with the reviewing of Chapter 9 institution. I think that statement, we can take it out. We can do with this minute without that statement. Then the chairperson thanked the members present and the meeting was closed. So taking out that statement that refers to the Chapter 9 institution, can we take it that this minute is the correct reflection of what took place? Sure. Baba KK is moving. Baba Yulis is seconding. The two sets of minutes have been adopted. We'll sign them and submit them accordingly. Now, consideration of the strategic planning workshop. Did we disagree with that? The report. FC is distributing. FC is distributing. Let me indicate that you will remember that we had a strategic planning workshop, and at the close of the workshop, we had a report ready. And we considered that report. I see this discrimination. Are you going according to the attendance register? Because I see Mr. Sage is not you. You keep cheating everyone. Oh, okay. Fine. But can you make a copy for me? Okay. We then had this report presented to the workshop, which reflected on all what happened, as well as all what went on in the deliberations, as well as all what was noted to can assist us as we develop a program of action. Where we noted about four topics that should guide us. And we ultimately adopted a program which we said is a draft program of the annual program of the portfolio committee. And we then said we are calling on all stakeholders to submit their inputs towards the finalization of the program. And that we put Friday, last week Friday, as the deadline for those submissions to be made. So we did receive some submissions. The one submission came from the Public Service Commission. They did not suggest anything different to what we have said, other than to say there are two conferences which we did not list. So they indicated that there are two conferences which we did not list, we did not have, as we're dealing with the strategic planning session, which they are co-hosting with other entities. And they wanted us to include that because they would like the portfolio committee to attend. And if you look at the I wanted to say page 70, but the latest report is like it's talking about page 73. I want to talk about page 73. The last page, if you look at the last page, the very last page of the report, you will see on the 19th to the 20th of April, there is this IPMAHR conference. By the way, what did they say IPMA stand for? Okay, we are going to see. This conference was not there, so we have actually included that. Which is the other one? The other one. International Primary Marriage Association. Okay, whatever it is, we're going to have, and then we have included that conference, so we're going to look at that. The second one was it? The Monitoring Evaluation Conference. What? Okay, the other one is the Monitoring and Evaluation, the one on the 28th to the 30th of March. It was not there, so we included that. The second addition came from a members of this committee collectively saying they are representing the ANC to suggest that we should have two round table discussions added to our agenda. And that the two round table discussions, one should be on the role of civil society in deepening democracy and accelerating service delivery. That is public participation. To them say, let's have a round table, because we only decided to have one round table in the year. That is the one that will be focusing on SAMDI as a training academy of choice for public service. So that this one is suggested as the second one. So we did not include that and amend the program before tabling to this committee, so that if it is accepted, then we will make it a point that it is accommodated in the program. From the chairperson's office, we may not be bothering the committee to say, let's discuss as to when we are putting this thing. If we agree, we'll just have to look at that issue and then say, fine, let's have it. The second round table, or topic for the round table, is the discussion on the state of crime in South Africa. The round tables, just to remind those who may not have been with us at the workshop, is a situation where we say, as a portfolio committee, let's create a platform of dialogue on issues that, when we look at them, are cross-cutting, are not only issues of interest for this committee, but are issues of interest either at the national level or in parliament or in the world. So this issue of public participation is seen as one of them. And also this issue of a round table discussion on crime is also the other thing. So we might want to provide that platform. In which case, if you say a platform, a round table platform like that, you then say, Public Service Commission, go and investigate this issue. Come and lead the discussion. And then the heated discussion, and then all stakeholders that are supposed to deal with that will then be in a position to deal with it. Now, we will eventually present to the committee to express its views on that proposal. But if you look at the report itself, the report as a whole, it has a section of introduction where it introduces you to what happened. I mean, what was happening there, what were the tables and stuff like that. Then you have a section of attendance and apologies. You then have a section where our keynote speaker, we invited the former president of SAPA, Professor Taggart, to lead us as a guest speaker. He came in, spoke so well. His speech is attached, it's part of the report. And also the issues that were stressed that may not have been contained verbatim in the report, I mean in the address, but they were stressed during the discussions. They are also captured there for us to look at. And also the issues that emerged during the discussion, what we said, the areas of focus and stuff like that are also captured there. Then from there, we are capturing the presentations of all the other stakeholders, the strategic plans of the Department of Public Service and Administration, an input on the African peer review mechanism, strategic plans of SAMD, of CETA, and also what transpired during discussions. And at the end, where we draw a way forward, a conclusion and way forward, we're then saying, you know, we see this workshop having addressed itself to the theme. Which we identified as the same thing that we had for last year, that of accelerating transformation and service delivery in the second decade of freedom, putting emphasis on the centrality of public service and administration. We then said there are four broad things that will then have to guide our drawing of the program. You find that in the conclusion. And we then ultimately at the end put a program. So as it is now, unless if other things that are beyond our control dictate otherwise, we will then say this report, in fact this program, or especially the program part of it, is our annual program. So which we then have to cost so that we see as to what is the financial implication of all these things. But we are presenting this report that we then adopt it so that we can submit it to Parliament. Of course, when we submit to Parliament, we will obviously take out some of the issues so that you don't have a thick report like that, which is so intimidating and not reader-friendly. So, let me pause here and call for comments and moves. There is a move that the report be adopted as it stands. Is there any second? Is there any counter? There is no counter. If my interpretation of English, which is my ninth language, is correct, then it means the proposal by the ANC falls off because it's not part of the report as it stands. If the proposal was saying the report be adopted as amended, in setting the proposal from the ANC, that will say that it comes in. Okay, fine, as amended. All right, fine, the report is adopted. We are going to work on it. Our secretary is going to provide a nice bound report, so that this thing we can be able to keep it as a resource guiding us throughout the year as we deal with our work. We may now move to the next item.
here, but we're not going to wait.
Which is the Public Service Amendment Bill. Maybe before coming to that, in the minutes of the 13th, we talked about new members and members who are being decided. By that time, we even indicated that that is from the official record, but there was no ATC issued yet. There is an ATC of the 8th of February that actually contains all the names. So it is official what we have been talking about. That Bawang Teng, who is now a full member of public service. So, let's now attend to this item, the Public Service Amendment Bill. We have a program. We know that we after receiving the bill as introduced to Parliament, we called the department to come and brief us on the bill, and we also had a workshop which ran over a period of 2 days. Today, we are supposed to, as a committee, because we called for submissions, we are supposed to get ourselves as a committee looking at all those submissions. So that when we look at those submissions, we are preparing ourselves for public hearing. So whether we're going to have public hearings or we're not going to have public hearings, that decision will have to be taken here. And if we take a decision to say we're going to have public hearings, who we are going to call as a stakeholder to appear before this committee at a public hearing, that decision will be taken here. Because it's not everybody who made a submission that we can say we will definitely have to call for public hearings. We'll have to analyze the content of the submission, because some of the submissions, of course, we're not going to be silent on any submission that has been made, even if it's irrelevant. We will just have to express ourselves and say, if somebody made a submission that talks about fishing, when we're actually dealing with a public service amendment bill, we may then say as to providing a one-stop service without referral, which is the language that we are talking about in our public service. We may just have to refer that person or to advise that person as to what is it that person has to do, and then state that it may not be an issue that falls within the scope of us processing the public service amendment bill. We are looking at a program of further processing the bill. In that, after today, we are going to have a meeting on the 14th, the 14th of March, where we are going to consider the Public Service Amendment Bill, public hearings, and we'll be listening to FEDUSA and IMATU. The 14th of March. Yeah, that will be public hearings on the bill. We'll be listening to FEDUSA and IMATU. And on the 16th, the 14th is a Wednesday. On the 16th, we are going to listen to COSATU and the affiliates. they will have to indicate as to who of their affiliates will be coming, will be interacting with them. On the 28th, which is a Wednesday, we will be having hearings or public hearings accommodating the Public Service Commission and one individual. I should have indicated that in terms of stakeholders, we have organizations and individuals having made submissions to this committee on the bill. So we are making a provision that on the 28th, Mr. Stan Davis from NISNA, we will be sharing the platform with the Public Service Commission at a public hearing. We are allocating slots for two stakeholders a day, except on the day that we deal with COSATU because of they may have a chain of their affiliates coming in. So it will be COSATU and affiliates only on that particular day. On the 30th, which is a Friday, we will be having public hearings addressed by Ms. P. Govenda and Mr. Sunil Gopal. So that will be the conclusion of public hearings. From there, we are going to apply, because Parliament will be going into recess for constituent work from the 2nd of April until the 30th of April. Mm-hmm. We are going to apply for a special permission to sit during constituency period. Because our target to finalize the bill is that we need to do that by May. So that latest June, the bill must have zigzagged between the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces and be okayed to go through. For the week of the 16th to the 19th of April, we are saying that on the 16th of April, we are going to receive short summaries arising or emanating from the analysis of the public hearings. And we are going to be led to deal with that item by our committee research unit. This honorable researcher sitting on my right hand side will work hard, maybe to a point of having hair growing throughout his head. So it's going to lead us there. And also our state law advisors, they are going to lead us, and also the department itself. What it means in terms of the business of the day on the 16th is that having gone through public hearings, we'll be identifying and isolating issues that are being raised. And then these three entities will then advise us as to how do you best accommodate the input of COSATU, the input of isolating those issues. Does it mean that the portfolio committee has to amend the current suggest amendments to the current bill in order to accommodate the views or what? Those are some of the things that will be contained there. That is on the 16th. On the 17th, we will be addressed by the Department of Public Service and Administration. You will remember that in terms of the submissions, We also have a submission from the Department of Police or Safety and Security, the Commissioner of Police Office, where they are raising concerns on the bill. And also the Premier's office from our province of Northwest also responded, made submissions on the bill. The department has been served with copies of these submissions. Then the department on their own is advising that let them be given an opportunity to study those submissions. And then they are going to respond after studying those. They may also engage on a bilateral at that level. As of course you remember that some of these things are steps that would have been passed during the cabinet stage of processing the bill. So that is the situation. As they are going to brief us on their impressions on the submission on the 17th. To then say how best are we actually supposed to accommodate that. Then relying on our effective state law advisors, their ability, unquestionable ability to be able to get all those things and contain them into a draft, then it means on the 18th and the 19th, we will begin with an informal stage of considering the bill. So that the following week we can get into the formal stages and stuff like that until we adopt the committee and prepare a report. I mean the committee position for the bill and prepare a report. So that is what is actually going to happen in terms of us going forward. But as I've indicated, colleagues, that the decision to have public hearings or not have public hearings will be, that decision can only be taken at a forum like this. And also as to when we say we have public hearings, as to who we are calling for the public hearings, can only be taken at a forum like this. I'll give an opportunity to, or before saying that, my assumption is that copies of all submissions have been made and submitted to all the members, except in the track, of course. And that is the assumption. And the second assumption is that we have had an opportunity to go through, not just browsing, but studying. Welcome, department. We are just starting to deal with the issue about the bill. We are saying today we are meeting as a committee to prepare for the work that is coming ahead of us of considering the bill, having gone through the workshops and all other stages that we have. We have submissions made from stakeholders, I think about 8. Some are organizations, primarily trade unions, and others are individuals. We are going to decide now as to, because we have developed a program of public hearings accommodating all of them. But we are accommodating all of them up to this stage just to make a provision that if we decide to call all of them, we are not found wanting in terms of saying when are you dealing with which structure. But this meeting now is getting into that exercise. It is getting into that exercise that will assist us to then say, but which are those stakeholders that we are calling and which are those stakeholders that we are not calling. Because some of the stakeholders may have made submissions, but we find that the submission itself, the written submission suffice, you don't have to actually call them. So we are right at that stage that we are saying that we need to look at that. So colleagues, without maybe wasting of much valuable time. Let me indicate that I'm about to give our center to leaders in terms of areas where each stakeholder raises an issue, and also to assist us in terms of whether we may call stakeholder A or we may call stakeholder B to be able to come and appear before us. But before doing that, let me just pause for a moment if there's a comment on the program. Copies of the program that I was talking about has actually been submitted to you. It's just an extract from the main committee program, so that we focus only on areas that deal with the pain. The submissions, all submissions were sent to us. It is us who called for submissions. They were all sent to us. They are just some submissions that when we analyze them, we realize them, that it is actually necessary that if you don't want to use public hearings as a stage for people who are supposed to consult each other at the cabinet level, to come and engage each other at a public hearing level. Because then the issue will that may actually go far in terms of saying, but this, when cabinet adopted this issue, what did it look at and stuff like that. For instance, the commissioner of police, because we also received the input from the Minister of Police. We're supposed to have actually done that during the cabinet process of considering the bill, not during the parliament process. And of course, they all acknowledge that, yes, it is true. They were supposed to have dealt with that. That's why they are actually just completing the work that they were supposed to have completed even before the bill is submitted to us. So that is the thing. Exactly as you said, the department will be part of this public hearing. They will be hearing what the people will be saying. All stakeholders will be there, and all the decisions are actually going to take place. But we just say we don't want on technicalities to miss some points that would be maybe relevant and very helpful for us going forward. Thanks about that question. Any further comment before we look at the submissions? Fine.
Jim.
Yes, Bob.
I would like to know if you take down submission from a national commissioner. It's a concern, objection, proposal. What was his concern really? If you take Mr. Davis' submission here, among the legislation of public service, was it a complete submission?
Yeah, here is what you are asking is an answer to my question, to my assumption. My first assumption was that all copies of all submissions have been circulated to all members of this committee. So, which means the response is a very weak yes. It's a yes and then no. Or maybe that one may be yes. But then my second assumption is that all members have studied this submission. Now, if a question like that arises, it tells me that it's either, if all members have received the submissions, not all members have studied. Because you should be having the answer to that. So can we establish, let's not just say pass by this point. This is a formal committee meeting. Let's not pass by this point. What is our comment on these two submissions? Because it will also assist us to analyze what the researcher is going to present. Because, you see, we don't have to take the presentation from the researcher as law. He might have attached an interpretation which does not talk to the submission themselves and will not be in a position to engage the submission if we have not read ourselves, if we have not studied those submissions. So may I check, did we all receive copies of the submissions? That is from the South African, I mean from SAP, that is the commissioner, from Stan David, from SJ Cupido, from Shadrach Mavivela, from the Public Service Commission, from COSATU, from VEDUSA, from IMATU, from Ms. P. Govenda, and from Mr. Sunil Gohan. Can we all see that? Those who have not received, can we get an indication? Mr. Julius has not received. Ms. Maloney, Mr. Kenny. Part of it. Okay. Good. And then those who received all or part and have not yet studied. Can you get an indication? Let's be honest. there is an appeal that I do not go there. Okay, fine. Let's not go there. Okay, let me have it.
Thank you, Chair. Let me not pretend that it's on par with understanding what has been discussed. So maybe a little bit of elaboration from the party that is. Our role as the committee in relation to this piece and the role of the cabinet. Well, I'm part of those that have received all the documents that have gone through this. I think I do have a better understanding. But given what is in front of us, where you have the submission from the National Commissioner, and the one that I read from the Office of the Premier from the North West, and us as the committee now to do this. So it's giving me a little bit of the problem. Maybe if you can take me through about explaining the process, what is the role of the government? Because it's a pity to have people who happen to have the opportunity at some level, some other level to deal with this, but they are coming with another job to deal with the community. Whether I'm doing it in a wrong way, subject to conditions, because of this.
Okay. A brief explanation. We will be an attempt firstly to answer a question, what is it that we are dealing with? We are dealing with legislation. We are busy making a law. But we are making a law that reflects on the existing one. That's why we call it an amendment. Now, whose responsibility it is to deal with those things? It takes us to the question of the separation of powers, the executive and the and parliament. they are initiating an amendment. Let me say the Department of Public Service and Administration. It is required of them that initiating an amendment, they will have to go through what is referred to as a cabinet process. In fact, before the cabinet process, they do their own process, including, if they want, stakeholder consultation at the executive level, when they are actually dealing with a draft of a draft. It's a green draft. Now, then there is a process of taking through cabinet. I think there was a panel or a team, department, you correct me, of sub-ministers dealing with it. Now, when it goes through a cabinet process, is to then say an opportunity has been given to those who constitute cabinet to raise their views. Those who constitute cabinet, you talk about ministers, of course, heads of departments, they have an opportunity to make input, because otherwise you might find that you don't have two departments, the one of the minister, the other one of the head of department administrative. They have the opportunity. Now, having done with that, they can't pass it. Then they agree that yes, it's fine, but then a bill is formally tabled in Parliament. When it is formally tabled in Parliament, Parliament then refers the bill to a portfolio committee. We went through the first reading at Parliament, the first reading debate, which was a festival of ideas, where all committees, any member of Parliament could press a button to talk in front of her, and then be recognized to go and speak. But you did press the button. You did press the button. You did speak, and others, of course. That was end of stage. Then this is the piece of legislation that's introduced. Then being referred to the portfolio committee. Then the portfolio committee, as an extension of Parliament, has to engage with the member for what it is, for what it is. The implications. And it has to go through the process of public participation, which is called hearing, which is an inbuilt a feature of our democracy. Now, and when you then you do public hearings, you public participation through hearings, you contract so that you give an opportunity to everybody. What we did at the portfolio committee. We said, fine, department, this has been tabled, come brief as they did brief us. Then we then put up adverts calling for submissions. And we did that through the radios and through print and electronic media, calling everybody to come forward. And then responding to that, then these stakeholders made submissions. Then as they make submissions, then it is the responsibility of this committee to analyze these submissions, even before you actually engage them formally, like we are doing today. And in analyzing that, you will find that there will be those in Afrikaans, some of us who speak Afrikaans. There will be those who say they would believe that no, after all, come work in the class. So, there are after authors who are supposed to have participated in the cabinet process. We are saying it's fine. If the technicality, if you say the cabinet process has passed you, your past is gone, we can't listen to your views. It's a technicality. But that's why we then say, can you find a way? Can you find a way of actually responding to that? We asked the question on the last day of the workshop to the committee, to the department, to say, answered all technical questions. There is one question where we said we are entirely becoming unfair to them. Ambushing them, of course, because they were not ready for a question. Tuesday, can you tell us what are the shortcomings of this bill? And the response was that given, you know, after listening to all these things, after this interagency, including everybody, all the stakeholders, they believe that there may be a need to actually put some more flesh or remove some bones in the bill. So we are then saying, we believe that they are capable to actually deal with some of these things, even at this stage, and come back to us to assist the process. So that is what we actually have to do. And it is our understanding that we believe that it's actually well within our mandate to deal. If we're mindless, we'll say, fine, you say you want to speak. We don't want to see a repeat where cases like what happened with the two pieces, the two or three, the cross boundary and the, what was the other two? The traditional Medical Practitioners Act, which were referred back by the Constitutional Court because there were certain requirements that were not met during the process of Parliament dealing with these things. And also the Civil Union Bill. The Civil Union Bill is one of them. You don't want to see a repeat of something. So you want to consult everybody. Even if consulting somebody means that, yes, you come in as an afterthought, just go and join the ship from somewhere and actually deal with these things. So that is the situation that we believe that it will well be taken care of. I'm not sure if this comes closer to providing a response, Mr. Nyambi, to your question.
Yeah. No, it's coming through. Besides that, in the process, it seems to have to be extra careful not to find ourselves concentrating on people that were part of the cabinet process and coming to it, depriving people that were coming for the first time as part of the conversation.
No, you're right. That's why even when you look at our program, we are even separating dealing with those things. It's on the 16th of April that will focus on these people who it is their time to make those submissions. And we are also saying on the 17th, we also give them time to deal with that. Because we don't want to be part of any anomaly. Because you see, there are those who suggest that the consultation, that's why you might have met people saying a lot of things, saying that no, the pre-cabinet process was not as inclusive as it ought to have been. There are those who believe that. Now, if there are those who believe that, it's a technicality for us if we say we can't listen to them. We don't want to be in cahoots with anyone, either as an act of commission or an act of ignorance. We don't want to do that. We want to actually get ourselves in a situation where we give an opportunity to the processing of this bill so that the final product of it will be something that will be worth it to keep for a little bit of longer time.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to enforce what the Secretary has said, that as we are seated here, the process that we are making legislation.
If you don't mind, you can press on for record purposes.
Just a moment. I'm saying that the phase that we are in, we are making, it's a law making process. But as the chair has actually said, the law, before it actually becomes law, after the president is assented or signed it after it has been to the NCOP, it first becomes a bill. And when it is a bill, we need a lot of public participation to make interest in that bill. So that at the end of the day, it should not happen whereby, as he has said, that some will say the process at that stage was not inclusive. And when he started to talk of separation of power, that the bill will, the process of lawmaking will start in the cabinet, where there is going to be a cabinet process. From the cabinet, it will come to parliament. So there we are doing checks and balances to see if the making of the law process has actually gone through the processes that it has to go. It didn't skip any other processes. So from it has to be from the cabinet. From the cabinet, it comes to the parliament. Somewhere we have the department, because those are the people who are in the situation. They have got to come in with their insight. So that at the end of the day, before it actually becomes signed and becomes a law, we are all satisfied. And at one stage or the other, we have to bring in the public. Hence, we are going to have submissions. And we are going to look at the submissions so that they can empower us. Now, when we'll be sitting, is it on the 15th, analyzing all the input. So that at the end of the day, all the processes have been done. And we must remember that we make laws in parliament, but at the end of the day, these laws have got to serve the people in the community, the needs. They have to serve the needs of the people. If they don't serve the needs of the people, we can as well leave them. There's no need to sit here kicking ourselves. And one other thing, that we have to go through this process of the checks and balances, separation of powers, involvement of people, is that at the end of the day, the law that comes out has got to be in line with the Constitution. Because once it can be not be in line with the Constitution, it cannot be accepted as law in this country. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much.
Can we then move forward? Okay, Abdur Menir, why are you here, man?
There's one thing that bothers me. You know, we say here we receive submissions from the general public, okay, and that submission will be really looked into and to be inclusive. But say, we have a bill here, Same Marriages Act. You know, we had public hearings and all that committee that deals with that. And at the end of the day, if you look at what the broader public said out there about that bill, and yet we turn around in Parliament and we pass the bill against the will of the people of this country. Now, what I'm asking is, if those submissions come in, we bring the people in for public hearings, are they input relevant to this committee, to this Parliament, to this cabinet, or is it just an act we have to go through? Thank you, Chair.
Let's say I would request colleagues that we may give examples in terms of other bills, but really we may not get into the details of talking about them. The process is clear. We are not going to go for, I'm not suggesting in any way that there was any committee that had a half-baked, I know about Kakan, it's part of the Home Affairs bill, I mean, I'm committee that was actually, you know, that it may have a lot of stories to clarify some of the issues. But if we may focus on the Public Service Amendment Bill, and then making the point that when we do public hearings, we will actually do public hearings for what public hearings are. Listen to what the people are saying. And when we analyze what the people are saying, we are going to analyze what the people are saying against what we have set ourselves to be, how we define ourselves as South Africa through the Constitution. What are those things that we that's why in one meeting, one of our meetings when we're dealing with, I think it was at the first day of the workshop, one member of this committee, KK, indicated that one of the key documents that have to be guiding us is the Constitution itself. And even the minister, when she gave a political overview on the bill, she sent up, she said, I will not even come with a written input because the written input is there in the Constitution. So we are then saying, if we say we are talking about agencies and agencies are meant to address us to achieve 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then a stakeholder comes in and cautions us, no, 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 you see, we can achieve those things without necessarily having to introduce agents. That is where we are going to analyze the things and analyze the, you know, when you analyze the things, what is given, what are the tools of analysis that you are using. We are going to get to that stage when we arrive there. If the river we see is flooded, but let's not try to jump and cross it when we're still at the bank, I mean before we reach the bank, because you will jump and exhaust your energy and fall right in the middle of the flooded river, and then we'll get swept away. Let's get to that stage. We analyze each submission for what it is, what it means, interpret it and decide what we want to do with it. So that is the thing. We can't preempt what is going to happen. I think it will not be safe for us to do that. So, Baba Seka, you want to say something? Are you covered?
No, I'm satisfied.
Okay, good, thank you.
Yeah. No.
Chair, I didn't, when you mentioned the people that you are going to see,
yeah.
I didn't hear about, what's this association for public servants? There is that
association.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Yeah,
lobby
talent advocacy. They have not made it up.
They have?
They have not.
So they're not part of the people that are going to.
It's a good question. Unless if they indicate that they want to. Isn't it these public hearings have to be advertised? They are even public hearings. There will be those that will feature them, then there will be those that will then get them to decide to come. But we don't have a submission from them.
But it deals with the different spheres of government. Now, I was also wondering whether a SALVA has submitted anything. I don't see SALVA, but SALVA has not been
Especially around the local government. No, they have not submitted. They have not submitted. Of course, there are some of the submissions, when we analyze them, you realize there are some of the submissions. Whose content of submission argue as if we are busy considering the single public service bill. Mm-hmm. And that is not where we are. Mm-hmm. It might be that SALGA may have realized that they will participate actively when it comes to that. The only thing is that I don't know what went on because, you know, even the Public Service Commission, when they had to respond, they claimed that they did not see the advert. Because they only came in at the last time. They said they had not seen the advert. And it was actually carried in national newspapers. So it may as well be they have been like that. But also, we made a radio slot. They interviewed the chairperson at all the national radio stations captured his voice to say, please make a submission. So that's one other thing that might be. So fine, can we then say agree? Can we agree that we give our researcher an opportunity to take us through the submissions? And noting what members have said, including those that have not said anything, if we have this psychic power to be able to read their minds, you will agree that we might have to agree that he's taking us through. We comment as far as we can, but from here we make it a point that everybody has got all the submissions, and also make sure that I know we'll make an effort to go through and study. So the secretary is just looking for a date. I was just communicating with her. She's just looking for a date that we can slot into our program, where we are going to have a further repeat of what we are actually doing today, having read the submissions ourselves. But let's now take the researcher to guide us through.
Thank you, Sir President, and honorable members.
I'm sorry. Department, we said, you see, in our invitation, in our program, there are two columns, to brief us and to attend. When we say you are to attend, we mean you become an active attendant. That if you want to say something, you are not prevented from saying something. So at any point in time where you feel you want to say something, just indicate. We'll give you an opportunity.
Thank you, Chair President, and members of Parliament, and colleagues. Yes.
Do we have copies? Oh, old age copies. Yeah.
Yes. I should note up front that I haven't seen a submission from Ms. Governor. Maybe it slipped me somehow, but that's why she won't be appearing on the chief analysis. The first submission is from the Commissioner of Police, and the clause that he had a problem with was clause 2-2A, where he says the Minister of Public Service and Administration will have power to determine the conditions of service and employment practices. But he says they are concerned because this is the FAPS is a unique service with a unique functions form. I don't think that the Minister of Public Service is in a position to determine conditions of service for the SIPS. So their proposal is that the Minister of Public Safety and Security, that is the MPSS, as you see on the proposal, and the SIPS Act of 1995 are able to address the issue of the continuous employment practices for the SAPS. And then we come to clause number 3. They object also to clause number 3 because they say the SAPS Act empowers the National Commissioner to determine the SAPS structure and establishment. So they say they will only accept the bill if the Minister of Safety and Security determines the SAPS powers and not the Minister of Public Service and Administration. On 7G6B, that is clause 7, the Minister of Public Service in terms of the bill now as it is, would unilaterally implement the Safety and Security Service bargaining chamber offers made on behalf of the SATF as the employer, which in their case they think the Minister of Safety and Security is best to perform on those agreements from the bargaining chamber and not the Minister of Public Service Administration. Still on clause 7D6B, the Minister of Public Service would investigate any alleged non-compliance with the agreement as it deals, as it stands now. And they also say the MTSA or the Minister of Public Service Administration would take any steps to correct consequences of non-compliance, which they think it's not would be unconstitutional as far as they are concerned. So they would need a response from the DPSA. On clause 14, they say personal appointments by the Minister of Public Service and Administration would be unconstitutional because section 207(1) of the Constitution indicates that the President should and must appoint the head of department, the National Commissioner of Police, to head that institution. So they propose that the appointment is made by the President and not in terms of the bill, because it says the Minister will be deemed to have appointed the head of department, including the Commissioner of Police, because he's also the head of department of the SAPS. And then they say also, on clause 17, the extension of contract of the head of department of the National Commissioner by the Execution Authority is also a concern to them. They say the President should extend contract, or the National Commissioner must be excluded from the bill. So they say if that is not the provision in the bill, they would just ask for them to be excluded totally from this provision in the bill. On clause 22, the powers to transfer and second employees or second employees by the Minister of Public Service the National Commissioner, they say, has the authority to appoint or transfer employees on probation in terms of Section 28 of the Police Act. So they propose that they should be and must be excluded from this provision in the bill. It should not apply to them. Powers to transfer and second employees by the Minister of Public Service and any other executive member within the province or in the national sphere. They say that this should not apply to them. So they say the National Commissioner should have those powers in the SAPS, or if that is not accommodated, then they would reject the clause. And on clause 24, termination of contract of the National Commissioner by an executive authority or the MTSA unconstitutional. So, if the Minister of Safety and Security would terminate the contract, or the Minister of Public Service and Administration in terms of her power as the authority to appoint the head of department in terms of the Public Service Amendment Bill, then that would be unconstitutional according to them. So they say the President, in terms of the Constitution, because the Constitution section 207(1) says the President will have to appoint the National Commissioner to head that institution. So then they don't see how the minister of the minister of public safety administration or the minister of safety and security would terminate the contract of the commissioner, because it is the president who make an appointment in the first place. That's all about the election of commissioner.
Maybe can we pause a little bit and check if there is any question for clarity on that. There is a narrative detail talking to this presentation. Okay, my friend. It was completed sometime, I think it's 50 documents. Yes, about how many pages? Okay. No, it's fine. It's a 50 document. Let's just, it's actually part of the updated file. The files that were left. Any comment on this one? It's in the form of questions for knowledge. All of us.
Babaki. I would like to put my question this way, so that what I really want to ask should first be clarified. From the state advisor point of view, why is it necessary that everything now is directed to the minister? As the SAPS argues, it should be the Minister of SAPS. This should be done by the Minister of SAPS, not the Minister of Public Service and Administration. I'm trying to, before one argues it, I'm trying to understand why is this shifting to the Minister of Public Administration. Not even talking about an individual section, I'm taking it holistically. Why is the shift from the minister or consent, that is the minister of SAPS, to the minister of public service? Perhaps one should be clearer on that portion.
Okay, we're noting that one. Any further comments? Yeah, but first of all, the level of presence is not.
Right, can we respond to that? And also, maybe as
we respond, then note that what made us to think of having a workshop in the first instance was to deal with this issue. So that they at the 2-day workshop they had all the issues clarified and stuff like that. But of course we said providing clarity on issues like this would work in progress. So I think we may want to comment, but to also say that when we finally deal with everything, we will take on board all these things that are making sense. State advisor or department, is there anyone want to comment on that?
And then
KK,
or maybe
let's
say
KK. I'm of the view that when one responds to this one may not be used. One needs to have relevant information as to how to have the necessary response to this objective. And the information that one would need is that you must have some information from the minister or from the in order to meet the meeting. Because at the end of the day, we have to meet with the leader with the commissioner. and receive the necessary responses in order to convince them as to why there is this suggestion that these resources need to be given to the leader. I think one needs to work around and make an approach. That's how we're going to do it.
Okay. The it thanks about this, and I'll give to the state advisors and the advisors and the department. But let me first indicate that you see, as we deal with this bill, we are going to get into a very interesting debate. It will not be like questions and clarification. We may sometimes fail to provide convincing reasons to the other party, but there will have to be a lot of persuasions. You know, that is why what public participation is meant for. Raising issues, debating, but as you debate, sometimes you agree. But also as you debate, sometimes you agree to disagree. We are looking at these things from a given set of a principle. What actually Gaddafi has said, it's very much necessary that when we go to a stage of a public hearings, we mark ourselves and make it a point that this bill, we know it. And understanding this bill alone, it's actually like somebody said, it's like, you know, applying perfume when you have not actually taken a bath. the principal act that is being amended, we will have to understand it. So that we then say, what changes are this bill introducing? What is the advantage of doing that and doing that at this age in our history of transformation? And understanding the Constitution also is the other thing. So you are right. You may find a situation that it will not be a question and answer, minister this side and the people that this side. Now the bill is in our hands. It is our time now to say what is being proposed is in keeping with what South Africa would expect to see at this given point in time. Is the time of us deepening this culture of debate and taking a decision out of that. That's why, as Mr. Eunice has indicated, that's why you'll find that you may sometimes go to a public hearing and people say all sorts of things, saying amen from the first clause of the bill to the last clause, actually withdraw this bill. But you feel that really you have to actually address a certain issue which is key in our democracy to do, then you will have to find a way of going along with the people, including those who may not be agreeing with you. So the ability to do that has to be produced from us. It has to actually come from us to then be in a position to. There will be clarification and stuff. You know, there will be situations where sometimes, you know, we're dealing with one bill one day, you know, one stakeholder when raises a concern, the department raises another concern. They were actually like sort of close to actually going for each other's throat. But you need to then be able to say every person in South Africa has a space to contribute. So that the final product, it must be a product of thorough consultation. Having said this, does not actually stop me from asking if there's any comment from the department. You want to say something on this?
Yeah, same thing. That's why I just put just now.
Oh, I'm told tea is ready. Not only tea, but water is there.
Yeah.
And coffee.
Jay, that's why I raised
this point. After him, we'll go for.
That's why I raised this point, because I believe as we were putting this bill together, I mean, here were experts, here were our law gurus, as the package put them, here were the cabinet, here were the committee, and now, if you look at this concerns about the commissioner, the police commissioner, now, what I say is, we, as a committee, we believe that what we put in that bill is 99%, we believe. Because, I mean, we consulted with a lot of people, and we believe that is within our constitution, we are right. Now, then you get the question that the commissioner asked you, why must the minister appoint me, or why must the minister fire me? Now, I don't know. That's why I ask the question. Is it relevant to have this public hearing come into us and ask us questions? Not because I want to play politics with you, Jay, but because I know we're going to sit, we're going to rub shoulders here for this book. Thank you, Jay.
We'll no longer rub shoulders. It's solid shoulder. But we might give him half respect. And if that is the name of the game, so be it.
Okay.
So be it. You want to comment, then we'll take the team break, and then we'll come back, and then the official will take us through the remaining issues.
Chair,
yes,
on the input from the police commissioner, obviously they also sent, I think, similar comments. I haven't seen the formal submission to the committee. It was not shared with us, so, but we've seen similar comments, and I gather from the input from the researcher that it's quite similar. We already responded to several of these issues. On some of them, we disagree with the interpretation. For instance, the act clearly states that the president appoints all national heads of departments. And then the other area where they talk about the collective agreement, it's not a correct interpretation of the bill in our view. But then there was one or two areas where we looked at, and you know, as you asked us the question last week about the shortcomings, and that's the very first clause that's here in the researcher's document. We would like to make a proposal to the committee at the correct time to address this issue. And this we have done in consultation with the SAH Police Commissioner, so it's not really an unilateral proposal to address this concern that they've raised. And if you look at their submission, the one that we received, that much of what they say in respect of the remaining clauses is premised on this first one. So if we address the first one, then all the comments on the rest falls away. Because the current act as it stands say, if there's any conflict between our act and their act prevails. What you brought in now is a clause where our minister could in certain circumstances apply certain provisions to them, and that's where their concern is, and that's where we want to make a proposal. It's actually a very narrow area if we want alignment, we think, in a public service. And also the authority that will determine this will not be our ministry. The proposal is with the cabinet committee.
Okay. Thanks. I think that does the capture, and like we have said, that appropriate time that we are talking about, we are making provision for it for the 17th of September, when you will be responding and addressing us on some of such issues. Something before tea? Yes, madam.
They have responded to some of the issues, they have corrected some of the misunderstandings around the bill. Maybe if we can get that information from the department so that when we respond, maybe we can write a letter and ask the SAPS to say, from the response that we have received from the department, do you still want to appear, you know, so that we avoid, you know, this.
Okay.
big public hearing. Mainly the information that we're having is very old information. After the response from the department, they've changed their mind. So something like that.
We have actually already done that. That's why we are saying in the program, you won't see safety and security appearing in the pavilion, but a submission which must take their view is coming to us on the 17th to be presented by the department. That is the situation that we then see. This department, it will be presented by this department, by Department of Public Service and Administration. They will be saying to us, look, committee, we submitted a bill that this would want to claim. But on some technicalities, there was a slip a little bit. We could not get some of these things. And then after consultation with safety and security for them, we are raising this thing. And the implication to the bill, by raising this, the implication of the bill is that maybe this clause will have to be reorganized like this. That one would have to be. That would be the business of that day, the 17th. Can we take a 15-minute break? Okay, colleagues, let's continue. We will now be taking the submissions from the other stakeholders, and maybe as some of the comments and questions and debates during our consideration of the first submissions may actually then say, but What is this thing that the bill also is attempting to do? And some may say, you see there is a need to do a realignment of policy at the level of determination and policy at the level of implementation. So that if you have that entity that deals with policy making not having a say in as far as the implementation thereof, it becomes an anomaly. And that is what the, amongst other things, we'll get to realize that is what this bill does. It's just that when you create a legacy, it's a challenge when we have to revisit some of the things that you've done, because there is a legacy of doing things in a particular way. And people get used and have comfort zones with that. Not realizing also that they will actually get used in terms of emotional conditions if it comes. So there's no change measure. Baba Bia, can you take us forward?
Thank you, Mr. Honorable Member.
He has indicated that he has not received the input from a governor. He is right. There is nothing like an input from a governor. Governor is a person whose name appears on inquiries of the submission by COSAC. So because the name is there and you don't see the name of Wilma D.
No, so
we then attack that. It's a technical issue.
Thank you, Mr. Honorable Member. We are now on Mr. M.T.S. Monsumi. The clause that is attacking not applicable. This concern was on issues of Satanism. He said that is a clue about issues on Satanism. So, first, there are civil servants who are Satanists also. He can help the committee to understand how they work. So, that is still relevant. Though he talks about civil servants, but not about the bill. So,
I think sometimes in Brahmins, who's leading that movement.
Did you explain to you how Satanism is interested with you?
No,
he
didn't.
No, I didn't. Who was there?
I
didn't.
No,
I
didn't. They lost me.
I remember. There is also a submission from Mr. Sunil Kumar, who is a public servant. The concern is on clause 20, where he says the issue of public interest in embedded commerce is an overriding concern, first of all, he was transferred or second. But he thinks that it's saying how do you determine public interest? Who has the final authority to say this is the public interest? Well, I also believe it's a subjective issue, but I'm not here to confuse them. That's what he's saying. And then he says, he continues to say, his proposal is that there must be sufficient debate on this clause, clause 20. Specifically on the issue of public interest and in itself. he also proposed that there must be some protection of employees. If there would be sanction to if they do not accept the secondment or transfer, which is based on this subject to public interest that we put there. So he says there must be some protection of the civil servants if they don't want to go or anything. The public interest is not clear, because someone who may determine that may not be objective enough. that's all what he said. When it comes to Mr. Ben Davis from Melbourne, also, there's no clause that he's referring to, he's just talking generally. And he says he has a concern with the issue of the upcoming commission of the public service. And he says that different spheres of government are provided for in the constitution. So, if you amalgamate, then you would be taking this provision of different spheres. You may have to explain what it means, because it's not easy to follow from the submission. Also, it talks about the single public service themselves. Single public service will not improve service delivery. That's not a proposal, it's just a statement. So, for an argument. Yeah. And also, there's no applicable clause. It says the position of rent in the sphere of government, that is, national, provincial, and local, are somehow not compatible. Because you may find what is called a director in a public service or in a national department or provincial. You may find that in a local government it's called another name. So these positions are not compatible. And he said that this would create labor dispute. from the unions. So when I read his submission, it was just an implied rejection of the proposed subject. He didn't say it clearly, succinctly, but it was implied. That's why I said an implied rejection, because he was not proposing, but he was moving around saying this is something that he rejects. Knockout also is talking about the rescinding or annulling the local government legislation if we are going to introduce this bill. Because he says there are different laws at the local level. So if you apply this bill to generally apply, but his argument flows over into the issue of the single public service. So you may be crossing the bridge before he comes in. I can also read that it was an implied rejection of the proposed single public service. I'm sure one of the members that I understand the single public service on the proposal. That's just about it for Mr. Davis. Then we come to Mr. Jay Kukido from Beto Islands. Also, there is no applicable clause that he's talking about. I concluded that submission was still relevant in terms of the bill. It might be relevant in another forum, because we are talking about an issue of the fishing and tourism industry, which did not necessarily apply to the amendment bill. So there's no proposal also that speaks. This requirement of the bill. Maybe, like the Honorable Chairperson said, we may not ultimately reject everything that is submitted for submission to the committee. We can find a new way to say this could be directed to this person to address, because it's not specifically on the bill, but matter that needs attention from the relevant department. And seeing as in this case it would be environmental and affairs choice. And honorable members, we now come to Mr. Mabi Zwela, who is also a public servant. There's no applicable clause also. My conclusion is irrelevant in terms of the bill, because it was a personal matter on the application of posts by the Department of Agriculture. The issue with the department is an administrative matter, which has not been the bill itself. So we may have to direct him.
Before we go to other, if there is any other individual who needs to meet, is there any comments that you prepare for that on that section?
What I'm saying is that what we're dealing here with is the bill of the sanitation and not a human sanity. And when you look at the new proposal around the forest, I think there currently also exists in the discussion. But I would suggest that when our submission is made in the new course,
So when that is happening, that's when we do this to this field, then we consider this. But not as a particular thing.
Okay. Fine, just move now to K.
Not sure if I just. I wonder if I could amend what KK said. Why not say the service delivery from our side would be to write there to that person and advise him to connect this to that department? Oh,
is exactly the one-stop service that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
One-stop service, because remember, in terms of the public protector special report number 19 of 2000, which we attended to as this portfolio committee on the causes of delay in public administration. One of the issues were that even the question of a matter takes so long to be addressed because the person who's initiating that refers it to a wrong section. And that wrong section also do something wrong, refer that matter back to the person and say send it to this thing. But then in order to facilitate this communication or coordination, we need to do exactly as Malone is saying. That is actually the right thing to do. One stop service without referral. I think the comment of irrelevant for our people is the second line. It is irrelevant for us to consider this issue as an issue for public hearing. But in terms of how then we process it further, what we have suggested then most.
I may have to request the members to advise us as to when should we address the issue or refer the issue of this monsoon to the state.
Sorry, fine. We'll deal with that administratively. The office of the weather.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. We now come to Commission, Public Service Commission. On clause 3.8, the Commission is concerned that the meaning of the phrase "formerly employed on public service" is not clear. So they would need clarity on who is in a sense of grievance, so the grievance of the former Emperor of the service is not clear in the first place, that they say, and they ask whether the mandate would be that of the CSU to attend to this matter or the progressive authority, meaning the minister. And then clause 7.4 and 7.7. They have a concern about the phrase from the functionary, the definition of what is meant about the functionary in the field. Also, have a problem with clause 7.8 about the investigation of alleged non-compliance with the Public Service Act by the Minister of Administration. They are saying that they think there would be duplication of powers when the MPSA or the Minister of Public Service would investigate the alleged non-compliance with the Act, when also they are required to investigate compliance on the alleged non-compliance with the Act. So they say the interpretation is like that. On 7A, this is about government agencies. They are asking the question, saying, would the agencies fall under the jurisdiction of the Public Service Act? And then they carry on that. Whether they will have anything to, any money for the government agencies, if they not comply with the law. Also, still on the commission, clause 24.16e on the misconduct of employees who, on being found that they have committed, gotten into misconduct, and then they avoid action by absconding or resigning or retiring. They think that the issue should be addressed further. I think it's not clear in the field as to how this issue should be addressed. They forgot about this one.
What did you say? Okay, yeah. I've done one day. Yeah, that's okay if you ask again. What I think?
No, I'm saying why should they say address that? Because if you resign, you just like a dead person. You are no longer in their books. So.
I think the reason that they are raising it is that the question of re-entering the public
service. Isn't that addressed somewhere in the...
Yeah, it is addressed in the field.
Yeah.
You remember, even during the workshop, we even asked to what informed this move. You know, some of us even approached it from a religious point of view to say, if you uphold the Christian faith, they will say there is repentance. And I would say in the public service, once you have committed some misconduct and you disappear and then you re-enter the public service, we say you may not be able to do that and stuff like that. But the question is, they are just saying the issue should be addressed. They are not proposing as well they think it should be addressed.
Why are they correctional things?
Have a condition vote. All right. Is there any other question on public service commission? just for traffic results and so on. Or in areas where you think that you browse through the other meeting, you feel that there is something else that is not contained. Alright. Just go to court.
We come now to the submission guide, contract. There's no applicable clause on what they are saying concerning them. They are saying that the consultation process was not enough because they think that civil society was not completely contacted. So they are proposing a fresh start. Or hold back on controversial issues should be done, should be effective. So they saying if the committee would not agree with the fresh start of the consultation process, there should be a hold back on controversial they say you can take anything forward but hold back on what they think is controversial. Then clause 7A, which is about government agencies. They are saying the government agencies were pregnant several years. They are proposing that this should be deleted. Any reference to the GA, that is the government agency, should be deleted in the bill, or else they will reject anything connected
there. Yeah.
And then, still on the government agencies, they are saying it's an attempt, their opinion, it's an attempt that the department is making to transfer all employee contracts to individual institutions. And if I remember very well, they talked about this FA, the FA, FFA, the South African Social Security Agency, and so on. That people were transferred to this agent now with all their contracts. They are no longer part of the civil service. They are governed by another, they have another employer for the agency. So they are saying all those things that need to be addressed to them. Because they say you can't transfer bulk of people to an agent without any consultation. And their proposal is just saying you should be rejected outright. Also, the issue of ring-fencing of the government agencies, because it's still on the 7A, are saying this will dislocate the government agencies from the physical department, which means that the particular department establishes in terms of this deal, establishes an agent, then that agent might dislocate completely from the physical department and do this whole thing without carrying out the mandate of the assigned department. So they think that the proposed issues this should be rejected. Also they are saying that the establishment of agencies undermines the collective bargaining process, because they are saying who have been consulted when you establish a consultation. They also decided that they are assigning power to somebody who can employ people there and who have been contacted. Because you may be taking people from the civil service itself and assigning them there. Maybe a bulk of people to the agent without contacting their union. Say they agree or disagree. So they completely rejected the proposal, I mean, the clause 7A. on clause 3, labor relations and conditions of service are collective bargaining issues. So that is their belief, the belief that those are collective bargaining issues. So you can't, say the minister can determine the conditions of service are not, because it has to be. Subject has to be partnering process and the union. On clause 333, they are saying, they are asking a question, that they say, how would the employees to serve with a special deposit be identified? Also a question, will there be any union consultation on the on these advisory bodies, how they are identified and how they are appointed? And also in the response from the department. Also, they are saying these bodies will undermine the functioning of the public service chamber, public service collective bargaining chamber and the GSC itself. So they want the response from the department of education. 760, the Minister of Public Service and Administration got a clause that the Minister may supplement or elucidate during the determination. So they are saying that they want a complete deletion of the clause. Because the Minister cannot determine what has been agreed in the chamber. On clause 20, they are asking a question, how would the public interest be determined? In the same way as Mr. Davis. Because they say this is a subjective issue and they need a response from the PTSD. Also, they are asking a huge question. When the transfer of people is individual or collective, they are asking whether the minister will transfer a bank of people as it happened in the Sultan, or it will be just an individual matter where just an individual can fight on his own or his own, or going to transfer a quite a sizable number of people. So they need clarity on that from the government. Here on close between 20 years, is transfer a collective bargaining issue or not? So they need a response there. They're saying in the submission, if the response is that this is a collective bargaining issue, then they say take it out of the deal and give it to them so that they can bargain on it and take an agreement with the minister. On clause 25, a complaint on determination absence without being for the king in 10 days. They say this matter is very low because they say 10 days is not enough to warrant the termination of the service of the person. He may have to come up with the reasons why he was not able to do this, to ask for permission before the end of the something politically incorrect. On clause 26, There is a concern also on that section which talks about other remunerative work by employees. And they are saying the deal should not target only junior employees, but also highly skilled and senior employees who also do the moonlighting. They should target only junior levels who can supplement what they get from and the salary from the public service. Whereas they are saying that people who are consulting or are consulting to other organizations, whereas they are senior people are getting and can be salaries from the public service and still making money from other
people. No, thanks. So that is one area where they agree with the bill. But they say it should be extended to include also the senior echelons. Okay, the new question there, it's straightforward.
Yeah.
Just that those are issues that we're going to deal with when we extend the address on this.
Yeah, but it was a simple issue for the line. It's been bad outside in general arms as well. So happy. In that machine gun. He's Bobby. Bobby was the media he gave.
All right. It's fine. Let's for to come and address as a parliament when I can take a decision at the end. They are just raising a general issue, the first point on consultation process where the civil society not effectively consulted. If I may ask the department, In the process of making laws, is there no stage where NEDLAC comes to the party? Okay.
Chairperson, in terms of the NEDLAC Act, they have the authority to look at labour legislation affecting labour market policy. We actually did make a presentation to NEDLAC quite recently, and they did ask us to submit it formally to NEDLAC, but we have to view it's not necessary in terms of their law. We also sought outside legal opinion on the matter to confirm our position, and it indeed confirmed that it's not required in the case of the Public Service Act, because they say it's not affecting labour market policy. So that was the
Any
further comment? Okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go into any detail, but just to highlight some issues regarding the consultant inquiry. The government agency, and just from our interaction with the person that was responsible for writing the comments was also at the NEDLAC meeting. I think it's some of its own misunderstanding of what the government agency will be. But we made it quite clear that all the employees of those agencies are still public servants. They're subject to the same collective bargaining arrangements. They're not taking them outside the public service. I think that's a key issue, obviously from their side, that we don't want to, they don't want us to take people outside the public service. And in a SASA example, there was a separate act creating SASA. It was Act of Parliament provided for the transfer of staff, so I think it's not the same. This is something that will be within the public service, these agencies. But obviously the detailed responses to the issues that they raise we can provide later on. And then on the issues of transfer, in our view, it's clearly not a conditions of service or collective bargaining issue. transfers have been dealt with in the Public Service Act for many years, and we said for the employer to decide where I wanted to utilize a particular person. And obviously when I want to move that person, I must follow due process before I make a decision, a final decision. And then just to come back to collective bargaining, it's quite clear from the Act that the minister can't determine any conditions of service in this context of collective agreement. But there is some one area which stands on this submission that I think we need to make it clear that even we can't just, maybe there's no collective agreement on a particular matter that's a matter of mutual interest. But we make it clear before the minister acts, in terms of the Act, there must first be collective bargaining. And so we will make a suggestion to the committee in that regard. But this is how the current Act stands. So they even criticize things that are currently in the Act, and they may well do so. But it's some of them is not new. And then on the remuneration issue, I don't understand the comments really, because the section doesn't distinguish between senior and junior employees. It applies to all public servants that you must obtain permission to do outside remunerated work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we can move now to yes.
I don't know what I would do. I would say that we have need to wait for the government to start to come before that is implemented. The information that you now have was presented to NETA will also include the collective bargaining being available to us, so to communicate with us, so that we don't repeat this very thing of the collective bargaining.
Unfortunately, we are now strategizing for the public hearing. We have, in fact, not even heard what the department has said. But we have heard it's empowering. They will be there when Kuta to talk to their presentation, to their submission. The department will also provide the same clarification there. Then we'll be noting and we'll be checking them to comment on what the expert is saying, and then we'll be noting when we take a decision, we'll consider all this. So it's definitely let's wait for that time that COSAC to come around and be able to think. But as we prepare ourselves so that we might be in a position to even come with leading questions that will end up providing the kind of responses that we're getting. We might want them the department if they don't volunteer to give that information. It's just like that. Was there no consultation and stuff like that, then we know all those things that they think that in them to something like that. So yeah, I think it comes out very clear that when we, after this exercise, when we have to look at our program now to arrange it to them, so who are we calling and stuff like that, I think we'll create more time to engage with COSAC as we clear some of the lost submissions.
Yes.
Yes.
From what the department is saying, since they are training teams, what is the first target? So I think that must also be serious for us, because what is the first we are not amending, we are not coming, we are not rewriting the text, we are coming with amendments, because if they are still saying something that is in the first target, that means that we need to rewrite it, because it should appear that we are starting amendments.
So what is not affected in the terms of amendment? So that's the thing that we need to tell you. You're quite right. That's why even with us to be more familiar, not only with the team, but also the principal, that is very important.
Can we move to the matter?
All right. We're not saying being well about the who are we saying? The matter is the
thank you, Sir President. Honorable members, to come now, now comes Imatu. The component is on clause 7A, which is the government agency. They say that the creation of a government agency gives the president legislative and executive power. So they are proposing that this should not have superior also in government agencies, that is also the same government agencies will have extensive and unrestricted powers. Proposal is that the issue should be discussed. And also still on 7A, government agencies, that then the tenure and term of office of CCA is unlimited. One of the same as the other one. They're saying now we come to the submission from the Embassy of the Northwest Province. She was writing that the member of the Executive Committee of the province and also the chairperson of the government and administration. So I think that the chairperson of that committee. On clause 10, section 7A, on the government agency, they are concerned that the administrative and reporting, I mean the administrative reporting and accounting lines between the accounting office of the general and the government agent and the HOD, the head of department, are not clear. So they need the response from the TSA, the department. Also on 7A, they're saying the assignment of powers by an executive authority to a government agent, whether with the constitution and legislation, should be clear. But I think they might be tampering with the constitution and your government legislation in dealing with the assignment of power. So they need a response from the department. Clause 24, section 51. They are saying that an input and reconsideration of sanctions imposed by the district chairperson should be revealed at the first. So they are saying there must be a provision for that option. So they think the chairperson of the disciplinary committee has a sanction, but they can reconsider the matter as an MEC, and the MEC as the executive authority of the department also can agree with that and maybe disagree with the, what the chairperson of the PC said. And still on 24, section 15A4, they are concerned about the employer energy, about these people resigning before this proceeding begins. resigned or absconded or retired. They see that misconduct is hanging over their head. So they need clarity whether the employer has remedies to deal with those people who absconded, retired or resigned. PSC. But now they are proposing that the DS should provide for compelling the SOT to first submit to the plenary if it's a provisional SOT, or then to the president if it's a national head of department. So if he has a grievance, but not directly to the PSC. And section 32. Participation of employees in political elections as candidates and members. They're saying that the bill should have a guideline for government as to how they should be dealt with if employees want to participate in political elections as candidates and have to be. There's no access clause there, but it's still on the Northwest province. It's still on public service. And they are asking a question, how will it be faced? And they need a response from the department. Also, the issue of handling of the refusal to transfer to the visa candidate. They need a response from the department, how they are going to deal with that. And then there's not a request, and there's not a concern to request to come and present to the public committee.
Okay. No, that's fine. Maybe on the last two submissions, if there is any clarity. If not, maybe we may then say let them look at these stakeholders and their submissions, and then see which ones do we think we need to call up for public hearing. We are saying that the issues, if we're to start with subs, we are saying that the issues they raised will be handled at the bilateral between themselves and the department, and we'll get an indication on the 17th as to the final position there. Agreed? Mr. Mutumi. Mr. Mutumi, we will respond to him and address him in terms of the one stop service thing. Without referral, we'll see where we'll refer his issue. Of course, if we can't find any way to refer it, we'll refer it by him. That commission on linguistic and religious and the rights of people has not yet been established. Does it exist? Okay, does it? I have a duty. The commission would have gone. Yeah, the commission would have gone. Yeah.
It is not the reason.
for the long, yeah, I remember during the Afghan care agreement, I think, something like that. We'll see where we're going to take it. If it's there, we'll do that. Okay. Directly, it complicates it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, then, Gopal. Sunun Gopal. Is raising an issue on one clause, the public interest issue. That is the clause that deals with a need identified to transfer or second a public official to another department if it is seen to be in the interest of the public. So the question is, public interest may override consent to accept or refuse transfer or secondment. How do we deal with that one? Yeah, from Qatar is fine. We're fine. We're going.
We don't need to invite you. He's going right to Juna Sal. So we don't need to invite you. You can get the answer here. The answer is just a target.
Okay.
We can't give women their own answer in the
Prasad. No.
We will get the same answer.
Okay, but let's do this. We don't call people to give them answers. We call people to give them a platform to participate and share their views with us. They are coming there to for us to listen to them. But if we believe that his submission is detailed enough, there is nothing new that we can and we can be able to engage with and then provide a response, we may do that without calling him. But let it not be that we're going to give him answers from a health legal consultant. So what are we deciding? Is the one issue Katie.
It's on the public interest issue.
Yeah, it's only on the public interest.
The Eastern Public Administration perspective, and the indigenous kind of take legal connotation and they confuse it. So, I'm of the view that with other states, rather than in the interest of the public, rather than in the interest of the public, because there are various interested parties in the community or in the United who might have interest in the public service or not have interest in the public, like the Chinese system. So I think we should refer to the in the interest of the public service and then come up with a criteria that is the what is the
We're not yet there, Honorable Kate. When we arrive there, we would like that argument to surface and be motivated why you think that is the right. But we are now at a stage where we're considering the submission from the COPA. The question before us is, do we call him for public hearing? Or are we satisfied that we'll be able to deal with the issues he's raising, responding to his written submission? So we can easily say, fine, we acknowledge the receipt of your submission as we process this thing. I think we have acknowledged receipt already. It may be to them say, further to your to our letter dated so and so, we have taken a decision in the portfolio committee that there may be no further engagement with you necessary. We will be able to reflect on the issues you raised in your letter and we'll be able to refer to you with the position, the final position and so on. Or would then they call you to come and appear before?
Because earlier on we were told by the department that this transfer of public service is something that is happening in the department in long time ago. So in case where they refuse, what is the department's responsibility?
what did they do if the president says, I don't want to go to the airport. I mean, if your boss go to this area and say, don't want, what's your money affected in this body? So that when you call them, you understand something happening to you.
You are in order and not in order. You see, you are in order that we will need to have that question answered. But it's not now. That was my understanding. It's not now, unless if we say getting an answer to that question will help us to assess whether we really need to call this person. But it is not the department that is obliged to come, that has made a submission here. It is just the government. So if we are satisfied from the answer of the department and then we decide not to call Mr. Gopa, the issue is what is the linkage between the two? And the only linkage is that this person has got a concern on the bill that is proposed by the department. So I was satisfied that we go on with this person and stuff like this. But if one department has gone for care and KD.
No, Chair. Because that emanates from the being this public interest is so responding.
Kevin Yambu, that's a very proposal.
Yeah, but Chairman, you said that Mr. Mitaji was one who would like to know what the department is saying, what do they mean about that? This is the Mitaji. I think it's something important.
The Yambu and then the department.
I wanted to say to second the honorable chair, that you said more to community because the whole people is our first position. And if you check the other story, our problem was made to be better to be for him to take that on the career and the community. So, the question.
Yeah, I think the sort of mindset from actually, you know, at the workshop, this term is currently used in the Act. So we are given that Matthew didn't think anew about this, should we use a different term. The things we changed is that the specifically saying you must follow due process if you want to transfer someone in the public interest. So it's a current term used in the Act. Now, I still maintain, I know about the lawyer's argument that it's an objective test. We don't say it's an opinion of the minister or the executive authority in the public interest. When a court will test it, they will say, is this really in the interest of the public that you move this person from this place to the next place? But as I indicated that the previous works will be also thinking of, but maybe you can say it's the same effect, shouldn't we use the kind of terminology like if it will be in the interest of service delivery to move that person? Because that's the real reason we want to move someone. We say we can better utilize the services in another place than here. I don't want to give a full answer to but what happened if they can say this is a transfer in the public interest and a person refuses, you can still force the person to go, but there is remedies to that person if he is of the view that the transfer is not in the public interest, that he can use to prevent or stop the transfer, but then you into a legal process, which one obviously wants to avoid.
The view is that we may stand to benefit. Let's call this person. Fine. David, amalgamation of David submission is more an input on the single public service when you look at it. And we're not dealing with a single public service at the moment. I'm not sure if my interpretation is wrong.
But
the right will do. If we have made a submission and then we look at the submission, we may call you, we may not call you. But once you know that there are public hearings and we advertise and you feel like coming, you may come. If it, with these people, more especially these individuals, also when we invite them to come, we are actually paying for their cost.
I'm saying in the first place is if you take Mr. Hoffman, and we said we must pay for the transfer, we can't have much in Christ. If you take Mr. Davis, for me, as a member of this committee, Mr. Davis' submission is more like political concern. So what I'm saying here is, Mr. Davis, you can't have it.
For on this one of Mr. David, what can be just read to him and say, look, as far as we concern, your input will be more relevant when we consider the thing in the public service bill, which will be coming later, I mean, which will be coming early next year. The president said it's 18 months, and it looks like that thing is around there, more or less. So we can then say, that being the case, we think that this input may be very helpful when we deal with the thing of public service bill. But if he strongly feels otherwise, fine, he may come.
Chairman, number one, that somebody in my request a hearing to come and attempt like public interest. I don't know, maybe in the case of that, what reasons the Gopal said in the application to come and address it. But if this is the issue, the public interest overriding the consent of self for the institution, then I think we need to explain. And then if we can then explain in what is meant, then I don't think that it warrants the public hearing.
Okay, we are done with Mr. Kumba. We are not going back to that. We are now dealing with Mr. David. I will finish you, David. All right, let's go now to Peter.
You
the fishing and tourism industry. Unless if there are implications of fishing and hunting in the case. Just like my retailer. Okay. On the question of course upgrade, which is a personal matter also, we'll find a way of dealing with it. Without getting them. Of course, the Public Service Commission, we will call them. The MEP Northwest, I'm not sure if we want to call them at our level or we'll see when the NCOP goes to provinces after the bill has been prepared to them, they will actually take care of that. I'm not sure what is the best that we can do.
Well, it depends on the substance of his argument. What does it warrant?
It does warrant, or maybe what we may say is a question of
explanation.
Yeah, maybe it having to be handled, you may actually request the department to engage the Premier's office. We may actually engage the President's department to get it. You want to say something on that?
Yes, my office is committed as far as you call, but we would like to interact with them. We actually did make presentation to their cabinet in December. They asked us to do presentation on the ball. I think subsequent to that they made a submission. We would love to invite them, even if that's on an official level, and if necessary, the minister can interact with the premier, and then revert to you on, you know, what the input, whether we can clarify some of the issues, and if there's anything we can make proposals to the committee.
So let's take that route, and then on the 17th, when you give us this bag, you will improve your interaction with the people. I'm told that the PSA, who asked about the PSA? Hey, yeah, he asked about the PSA, and all of a sudden the PSA is saying, I'm getting information now that they also want to be included.
That's the union.
We may not bother the committee in dealing with. We'll have to amend this program of dealing with the bill, taking out some of the stakeholders that we said we are taking out, putting in those who say yeah, no, and also looking in terms of, you might well look at the consensus submission, for instance. It might be very difficult to only have a 1 45-minute bite. Because that is what was allocated in terms of public hearing for them, who might want to also look at it, creating more time for that. So we are going to do that, and when we meet on Friday, we will give the final program of dealing with the people. Because this week, Friday, the portfolio committee is sitting at 9. What are the issues, by the way? According to our program, I think it's on what to pay me. It's on what to pay me, and consideration of the 2007-2008 budget of the Public Service Commission. So we will probably get inputs in as far as that is concerned. The problem is transport. If we make it 8 o'clock, it's a bit problematic. We are going to finish earlier. We're not going up to 1. We're mindful of the fact that people like to say we just come from Mpopo, they have to connect. So we're very much mindful of. Lunch is served at the Mass building. We are about to say the meetings are adjourned, but is there anything that from the department?
I don't think it's in order, but it's with your permission, I think there was a request from one of the members. We could, instead of all the submissions, provide a response from our side, writing, so that you have it before the public hearing commence. And we will try to keep it as short as possible. I know lawyers can be very long-winded sometimes, so we try to keep to the point that if special permission is to the secretary, at least maybe a week before the first public hearing. Then I also the clarity on you indicated the date of the 17th. I was not sure if it's 17 March, because that's the Saturday, I think. Or the 17th April. April.
Okay. So think about that. Yeah, I think that will be fine. Just provide those answers. And you are going to get all submissions, because it indicated that you don't have all the submissions. And the council will make it a point that you do that. And in your response, don't only address yourself to these questions as we are raising as the representative was presenting. But if you realize that there are some issues that need clarity that is being raised in their submission, after going through the submission, also address yourself to that. And then if we could get that well in advance before the that public hearing. That would be fine. In fact, we can accept it is maybe just an omission. We're supposed to request you to do that before today's meeting, so that we then look at doing that. There was a question that, I mean, the point I raised, I'm not sure if it's still relevant, colleagues, that when I said it's very clear that we have not gone through or we have not received, of course, as some of us did not get to see all the submissions, to then say we may need to have a rerun of the activities like of today. I said the secretary was looking at the date, she found the date, but let me find out if you think it's relevant, if it's necessary, or we say now fine, man, we are okay, we are ready to start shooting on the drone maybe. Okay?
We have heard the date is clear now, but we can deliver it even without even the submissions. I'm not saying we should, but I'm saying the deliberations today are enough. You need not even go into that. It's unnecessary. Right. To rerun the submissions.
To give an opportunity for a considered participation at the level like of today on the submission. Because there are those who have not received all the things and stuff like that. So what changed, I just think that not fine, we will catch up as we go. We don't need that accept the submission, but we'll do the reading on our own and ready ourselves to participate on our own. Yes. The submissions. In fact, the submissions, the board members must have them by today. It's fine. Thanks, colleagues. The meeting is then adjourned. Thank you.